test someone out of six lines from the challenge. You'd test someone out of six lines from the challenge. Yes. Still talking about Bikurim. We had so far a few different opinions. What part of the Bikurim process makes it that at that point it's that without that it's ma'akiv, they can't yet be eaten by Kayanim, versus at what point do they become mutter for the Kayanim to eat? We had Rav Shimon in our Mishnah who said that the Kriya is the essential thing. If you don't have Kriya, then you can't eat the Bikurim, and you get Malchus in fact. We had the Chachamim say not. In particular, we mentioned an opinion of Rav Elazar Amar Poshia saying that the Hanacha is the essential thing, not the Kriya. And then we brought the same thing in the name of Rav Yehonan. Or we brought two different versions in the name of Rav Yehonan, but one was according to the Chachamim and the other according to Rav Shimon. So now continuing on that topic. Amar Rav Sheshes, Bikurim Hanacha Ma'akevus Behen, Kriya in Ma'akevus Behen. Rav Sheshes says, similar to what we said before from Rav Elazar and from Rav Yechanan, that when it comes to Bikurim, the Hanacha, the placing them in the Azara, is the essential thing. Without that, the Bikurim are not yet Bikurim, and they're not yet Mutter for Koyin to eat.
Even
you didn't say this, so Kriya in Ma'akevus Behen, the Kriya.
Hanacha
means putting it down. Now, we said that Rabbi Yehuda had said v'hinachde means tnufa, but even he agreed that when it says v'hinichai means putting it down.
Okay.
We need both. Rav Sheshes is basically saying the same thing as Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, but he's saying it independently. The question is kiman ki haitana. Where did he get it from? He gets it he says according to the following tana. Up until now, we had statements of Amoraim to that effect. We didn't have a source from Tanoim explicitly to that effect. Now we're going to have one. So it's according to the following time. It's the time, yeah, we're going to
Tanoim.
We often have the Amoraim spell it out in detail based on something from Tanoim. We're going to see over here that the Tana isn't going to say in so many words that Hanacha is essential but Kriya is not. We're going to deduce it from what the Tana says. So Rav Sheshes spells it out explicitly. Where did he get it from? Based on a deduction from the following verse. Right, Rabbi Yossi has said three dinim in the name of three kings. So the whole bride over there is a bride, it's a sefta, it's a whatever, brings all three of them. For all purpose, we're only bringing one. Namely, that Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Shmuel, Yochol Yalo, or the Maisa Sheni, Bizmanazev, Yerushalayim, Yechlanu. You would think, now we know Maisa Sheni is supposed to be brought when the Beis Mikdash is standing, has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim, or you convert it to cash and bring the cash to Yerushalayim and use it to buy food and eat in Yerushalayim. You would think the same thing should apply nowadays, that a person should be bringing Maisa Sheni nowadays also to Yerushalayim, b'yechlenu, and eat it over there. The reason why you don't is v'dinhu, because you can figure it out as follows. B'chor ton avot, you can learn it by a mamat sinu. You can learn it by
that you don't do it.
That you don't do it now.
After the
korban, you can learn by a mamat sinu that you do not. As follows, with dinhu, you can learn it as follows. B'chor ton avot makom, a b'chor behema needs to be brought to the place, needs to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten over there. As a korban, or ma'aser sheni ton avos makom, and ma'aser sheni also has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Therefore, ma b'chur ain't a hell of a standby. Just like b'chur only applies when the Beis Mikdash is standing, because after the Beis Mikdash is standing, you can't offer it as a korban.
That's
a given. Well, actually, it's not such a given. We're going to see soon. But for the moment, we're assuming that that's how it is. Once there's no Beis Mikdash, you're not able to bring a b'chur as a korban.
Right.
Therefore, you have no purpose in bringing it to Yerushalayim.
Sure.
Well, then af ma'aser ain't a hell of a standby. So ma'aser also, you should only be bringing it to Yerushalayim when the Beis Mikdash is standing. The problem with that is Mala Bukhur Shaken Ton Matan Domin Murum Lagabim Zeach. The problem is how can you learn it from Bukhur? A Bukhur has a feature that Maaser Sheni does not, namely that you need to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach and you need to burn the Emurim of it on the Mizbeach. Maaser Sheni does not. So maybe you would say indeed, Bukhur can only be brought when there's a Beis Mikdash, because only then is there a Mizbeach. Maaser Sheni, it doesn't matter, so not necessarily. Right, exactly. So therefore, if you can't learn it that way, the answer is Bikurim Yechichu. Fine, but the answer is you can learn from Bikurim. Bikurim also don't have blood or Imurim that are brought on the Mizbeach. And yet they can only be brought when the Beis Mikdash is standing. So you learn from Bikurim. Just like Bikurim are only brought in the business of understanding, so also Maisik. The problem with that is Malu Bikurim Shekain to Unin Hanocha. The problem with that is that Bikurim have a different feature, namely that they have to be placed on the ground in the Azara, which Maisik Sheni does not, and for that matter, Bukhur does not. So therefore, so we can't learn it from either one. We can't learn it from Maisik Sheni, we can't learn it from Bukhur, and we can't learn it from Bikurim. The Gemara is going to talk to him why we can't learn it. If we want to do a mamasinu, in order to do a mamasinu, in order to binyan have, we have to have that the two things are almost identical. If we find any difference between one and the other, that's enough to say that not necessarily can we learn the mamasinu. As the Gemara is going to ask soon why we can't learn it from the combination of them, but we'll get to that. But sometimes we know that. We have binyan av because of that, and we have binyan av mishnei ksuvim. Namely, when you can't learn from one din, you can't learn from the other, but you can learn from the combination of them, from a mahasad. The Gemara will ask soon why we don't do that in this case. Be that as it may, right now, let's continue the braisa. So therefore, we can't learn it from either of them. Instead, we need a pasuk to teach us this concept, and that is Talmud Lomar. Therefore, we have a pasuk that says, "Ve'achalta lifnei Hashem alekecha." The pasuk says you should eat before Hashem, meaning in Yerushalayim, you should eat, and it lists a bunch of things, including ma'aser degan chatira shavitarecha or b'choros b'kor chavitenecha. So it mentions ma'aser and it mentions b'choros. So makish ma'aser b'choros. So therefore, it's not just a matter of a mamasinu. It's in the same pasuk. They're juxtaposed. You have a hekesh between them. Makish ma'aser b'chor. And a hekesh is not so easy to overturn. You can't say a hekesh, yeah, but one has a feature that the other one doesn't. That's fine, but they're put in the same pasuk. Therefore, Rav Sheshes is bringing the braisa from this braisa. When we finish looking at this braisa, we will see how this proves Rav Sheshes' point that Bikurim only need hanocha, they don't need kriya. So,
ma b'chur ene alo l'shnei abayis. So just like b'chur only applies when the bet mikdash is standing, because again, no bet mikdash, there's no mizbeach to bring it on. Af ma'aser ene alo l'shnei abayis. So ma'aser also only has to be brought to Yerushalayim and can only be eaten in Yerushalayim when there's a bet mikdash. Okay. Now, thus far the braisa. Now, how do we prove from it Rav Sheshes' point that Bikurim, the kriya, is not ma'aser?
Because v'im iser, if you were going to tell me that Bikurim require kriya as well, Lifrich, then the question shouldn't have been when we got to the point in the Braisa that we were trying to learn from Bikurim and we said, but no, Bikurim have a special feature that they require Hanocha. Instead of mentioning only Hanocha, we should have said, Mala Bikurim Shekain Tonin is Kriya Hanocha. We should have mentioned both features. The fact that we didn't mention Kriya shows that Kriya is not essential. There you go. That Kriya is not essential. We can prove that from the fact that the Braisa didn't bother mentioning Kriya when it came to Bikurim.
And by Maisa, there's no Anocha. Either.
By Maisa, there's no Anocha.
Oh,
there's no.
Okay.
Yeah. By Maisa, by the way, it
doesn't prove anything.
No, but we said ultimately we need to learn
it.
Ultimately,
you don't need it. There's no Anocha in Maisa.
That's fine, but still, the Braisa would have expected the Braisa to mention both things, the Anocha and the Kriya. By the way, Tosfos points out in connection with Maisa, there is a different kind of Kriya, namely Vidri Maisa. After you've taken care of all your Maisas from the past few years and given them out to the Levium and the Aniyim and done whatever else you need to do with them, then you say Vidri Maisa. The difference is, though, Vidri Maisa doesn't take place in the year when Maisa Sheni is Chal. Maisa Sheni is in the first, second, fourth, fifth years of the cycle. Vidri Maisa takes place in the years of Maisa Ani, the third and sixth years. So therefore, it's not even at the same time. So therefore, there's no connection between them. So therefore, so that proves that
Bikurim do not require Kriya. You should do the Kriya, but it's not Maisa. Ravashi,
however, Ravashi says that doesn't prove anything
because he did kuva leka mitzvah mileka. After all, it's true, fine. Let's say the kriya is not active.
After all, though, there is a mitzvah to do it. Ideally, the proper way of bringing bikurim is that you do the kriya. Whereas ma'aser sheni, there's no kriya at all.
And you're supposed to do it. And therefore, the lema mitzvah liferet. Therefore, fine. The braisa should have mentioned
the kriya and used it as part of the pircha. Because, in other words, the braisa could have said bikurim require hanocha. Ideally, they should also have kriya. Whereas ma'aser sheni needs neither one. There's no hanocha and there's no kriya.
How can you compare?
So, not how can you compare. Well, you can't compare, right? That's what the braisa said. But nevertheless, we were arguing the braisa didn't mention kriya. That means kriya is not essential. Fine, but the braisa should have at least mentioned kriya as the right way to do it, as opposed to ma'aser doesn't even require that. Elo, Amar Ravashi, no. Ravashi says the reason why the Braisa doesn't mention Kriya, nothing to do with whether Kriya is Ma'akev or not. The fact of the matter is, as we started mentioning yesterday, there are cases where you don't do Kriya in the first place. One of them we said was if you only bring Bikurim after Sukkot. We said you only do Kriya if you bring them between Shavuos and Sukkot. But we have other examples. Kiven de'ik Bikurim ager. Since, for example, we have the case of Bikurim that are brought by a ger. Where, after all, part of the declaration that you say over there as for Bikurim is you say that I came to the land that Hashem swore to our fathers, and he's not able to say that because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not his fathers. Therefore, you could say that's why the Braisa didn't mention Kriya. Not to say that if Kriya has to be done, it's not ma'akiv. Maybe indeed this Braisa would hold that it is ma'akiv, like Rav Shimon had said in our Mishnah. But the Braisa didn't mention Kriya because not a given, not always is there going to be Kriya in the first place. Even Rav Shimon agrees, of course, that in the cases where there's no Kriya, such as after Sukkot or Ger or what have you, that Kriya is not ma'akiv because there's no Kriya to be said in the first place. So the Braisa may not have mentioned Kriya because it's not a definitive thing. Hanocha is a definitive thing. The Bikurim always have to be put down, whether a Ger is with them, whether you bring them after Sukkot, whatever. Kriya, not necessarily. So you can't prove necessarily one way or the other from this Braisa.
You could say you do Kriya,
that's fine, but the point is, the Braisa couldn't have said that Bikurim require Hanocha and Kriya, because that's not a given. Bikurim don't always require Kriya.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that in the cases where Kriya is required, maybe it is required before the Kohen is allowed to eat the Bikurim. So you can't necessarily prove one way or the other from this Braisa. You can't prove it, you can't disprove. If Rav Sheshes wants to bring a proof to his point from this Braisa, he doesn't have a proof.
No.
Now, by the way, as a sign,
you could still think that if for specific cases, which are just very, very minimal, like the Ger, all other cases would.
Nonetheless, the fact is, Braisa may not have mentioned Pantokrita because of that. By the way, as a side thing, I mentioned I sent before something on the WhatsApp that a couple of years back I had occasion to give a shiur on this piece of Gemara over here and on all of the details that come out of it. It's not so simple, this that we're saying over here, that a ger, when he brings Bikurim, doesn't say the Pesukim. There are actually different opinions about it. There are actually different opinions about it in the Mishnah and Bikurim, and on top of that, there are different explanations of the Rishalmi, which discusses that Mishnah, and there's a Tosfos in Bava Basra, and there's a number of other sources among Rishonim and Achronim that discuss all the pros and cons of this. Is there a possibility that maybe, after all, Ger does say these Pesukim?
I think by Pesach they say.
So 1 second. So you could look at the link that I sent. You have many of the details over there. But you have a lot of different considerations. Or there may be some Gerim who are able to say it because they did receive the portion of Yisrael. They the Bnei Keni, the descendants of Yisrael. Do we say that maybe all Gerim can say it because they're considered to be descended from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov?
If it's a Ger has a Jewish father.
If he has a Jewish father, then he's not gay. If he has a Jewish father, then he's not gay. But we do have the child
that's not Jewish,
he
can become a gay.
No. Because if his mother is a goita, then he doesn't go after his father. He goes only after his mother. He doesn't yarshi directly from his father anyway.
But he could say.
But he can't because he's not considered Avesenu because he was a goy and then he became a gay.
Even with a Jewish father?
Yeah. Now you do have the other way around. You do have the other opinion over there. You have Rabbi Huda mentioning over there if that is Imoy Mitzrayim, then he's able to, and that gives rise to a lot of discussion also how the fact that Imoy Mitzrayim makes him able to say Avesenu. One thing is because women are able to inherit in Eretz Yisrael, like Renaud Slavchad. Anyway, you have a vast
amount of Jewish.
No, but they would mean, in other words, that he would be a ger in the sense that his father was a goy, and he was conceived when his father was a goy, like the case of Rav Mori Bar Rochel that we learned about in Bava Basra, where he was conceived when his father was a goy, and by the time he was born, his father had already converted. Yeah, he's a born Jew, but he doesn't belong to any Shevet. If he's going to inherit it, he's going to inherit a portion of his Yisrael that would be through his mother. Anyway, the bottom line
belongs to any Shevet.
No, because his father was a goy. But anyway, so
There is a lot of discussion about this. In Tosfos even, it talks about it over there. So in the Mishnah over there also, in Bikurim, it says by the same logic, a goy, if he's davening Shemoneh Esrei, how can he say Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu? He would have to say Elokei, he would have to leave out Aviseinu. And if he's davening B'tzibur, if he's davening as a chazan, he would have to say Elokei Chem v'Elokei Aviseichem. On the other hand, you have different opinions on that. And the Rambam actually says not like that. The Rambam says the halacha is not like that. The halacha is that he's able to say lekeinu v'lekei aviseinu, whether biyachad or b'tzibur, because all gerim are descendants of Avraham and therefore also of Yitzchak and Yaakov. And the same thing would apply to Bikurim as well. Not biologically, but because Avraham, Adam, and Goyim, and therefore he's the father of all the gerim. There's a famous letter that the Rambam wrote to a ger, the ger in his time named Evadia, where this ger's Rebbe or Rav or whatever that claimed to him, you're not really a full-fledged Yid, you're not really a descendant of Avraham or whatever. And this guy wrote to the Rambam, and the Rambam explains back that no, this guy absolutely does not know what he's talking about. You're every bit as much a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov as any other born Jew. And this guy, this Rebbe of yours, ought to be asking you mechila that he insulted you like that.
But anyway, that's all going to come from Avraham.
That's not the point whether all Goyim come from Abraham. Geirim are considered to be descendants of Abraham because Adam and Goyim, that means he's the father of all the Geirim. So that this is where we get that the Geir is called Ben Abraham, or Bata, or Bat Abraham. Anyway. So the Tosfos over there talks about, and other Rishonim talk about, that maybe not, that in fact, for example, I think it says that Rabbi Tam one time told the Geir not to daven by the Yomud because of this problem of the Cain of the Kavisenu. However, again, the halacha, the bottom line halacha.
I don't know what to say about the meaning of time. He didn't know what he was talking about.
No, because it's different. Because there's a difference between saying that you can't say the Cain of the Kavisenu and saying you're not really a Yid, you're not really one of us, or whatever. Rabbeinu Tam would have never said such a thing. He just says you can't say the Cain of the Kavisenu because of that technicality.
That's not the halacha.
The halacha in the end is like the Rambam, that the Geir says the same nusach as everybody else does, and therefore he can also say Mikra Bikurim. You can also say that's stuck in Bible clear.
Okay, that's all. Like I said, you can look at that link that I sent for all of you. Okay. The question is, we said in the Braisa, we tried to learn the case of Meiser from Bechor, and we said we couldn't. We tried to learn it from Bikurim and said we couldn't. Therefore, we ended up needing a puzzle that makes it gives us a hetish.
The question is, why didn't we say, fine, you can't learn from Bechor, but you can't learn from Bechor, but you can learn from Bikurim, but you can't learn from Bikurim because they require Hanukkah. Go back to Bechor, go back and forth, and learn from Asada Shavashadan. The bottom line is they have in common that they both have in common that they're only brought to Yerushalayim when there's a Beis Mikdash. So Maisa would be the same kind of thing. That's a valid way of looking at it.
Only one thing, right?
Yeah. The answer is Mishum Dehikalamif, Lahedudin and Pate Mahasad. Why we go back and forth and learn from a Mahasad that they both have in common that they brought to Yerushalayim only when there's a Beis Mikdash? The answer is Mishum Dehikalamif, because you could slog that up too. Mala Sada Shavashavan, you can Yeshvan Sad Nizer. Because you could say with both Bechor and Bechorim, there is something involved with the Nizer. Bechor is actually Gor on the Nizer, the blood on the Render, and the Murim of Vira Gor on the Nizer. The Bikurim have to be placed in front of the Mizbeach. Hanoch, I mean, you place it on the floor next to the Mizbeach. So therefore, as opposed to Maisa, which has nothing to do at all with the Mizbeach.
It's still not the point.
Right, that's the point. Therefore, you can't learn from either of them. Or even from the combination of them.
The Sada Shava doesn't exist.
Exactly. Well, the Sada Shava exists. But you would say they have a different Sada Shava, but they have a Sada Mizbeach, whereas Maisa does not. Okay.
The Sada Shava means it has to be one commonality.
No, Sada Shava would mean if we found that both Bechor and Bikurim have this in common. Neither one is brought to Yerushalayim when the Beis Mikdash is not standing.
But other than that, there was no other
special feature that they had over Meister. Then we would say yes, the same thing would apply to Meister. But because they have a different special feature that they have Tzad Mizbeach, you would say maybe only because of that common special feature do they have a din that they're only brought when the Beis Mikdash is standing. Maybe Meister not. Therefore, we needed the Hekish.
Now the question becomes, though, my Kassavar, fine, but what are the Tana of this Braisa hold, this that he said, that it's a given you only bring a Bechor when there's a Beis Mikdash, whereas Meister he wasn't sure about, and he ended up having to learn from a Hekish. What did he hold? Now, we have a famous Machlokas in a number of places in Shas, whether the original Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the Beit HaMikdash exists after the Churban as well. So, because of a Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel, Shaita, Kitchel, Asim, Lavoi, if...
So, no or nothing? Proposition?
Well, so actually, the Rambam kind of takes a middle ground then. If the Rambam says when it comes to Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, it did not survive the Churban, but when it comes to Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash, it did. But yeah, what are we holding over here as far as the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash? If we hold the original Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash exists for all time, well then after the Bechor Nami, then the Bechor should be able to be brought even when the Beit HaMikdash is standing, because if we hold Kitchel Asid Lavoi, then that means also, even if the Beit HaMikdash is not standing,
not
as there. Long as you know the place of the Mizbeach, you can bring Karbonus.
It is standing.
Even if the Beit HaMikdash is not standing,
like
as long as you know the site of the Mizbeach, well, practically speaking, we don't nowadays, but in principle, you could bring Karbonus, Makriv and Apophi Shein Bayis, as long as you know the site of the Mizbeach. And by the way, we've talked about a number of times before, there have been, over the generations, there have been many different Chachamim, Rishonim, Achronim, who argued on that basis, we should have the ability nowadays to bring Karbonus, in particular the Karbon Pesach.
We didn't know the site of the Mizbeach.
If we know the site of the Mizbeach, the Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, for example, one of the Baalei HaTosfos, moved from Paris to Eretz Yisrael in the early 5000s, in the 1250s CE, and one of his ideas was that we should go to the site of the Beit HaMikdash and identify where the location of the Mizbeach was, and bring a Korban Pesach.
And could he?
In the end, it didn't happen. But there's been many different, and there's different opinions about that. Is this thing possible or not? First of all, can we find the Makom HaMizbeach? Second of all, do we know necessarily who are valid Kohanim? Do we need Bigdei Kahuna? There were a lot of considerations that have been brought up in every generation since then. There have been Chachamim who are arguing about a pro and con.
Wasn't there a mosque at that time there? Well, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and none of it.
Yeah, that's true. By Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, the mosque was standing there for 600 years. So what? As long as you know the Makom HaMizbeach, you should be able to bring Karbonus, as long as you have the other criteria. As recently as, we've talked about before, as recently as after the Six-Day War, the Rebbe used to tell people, don't be in the old city on Erev Pesach, because you have a topic whether you should be going up to the Har HaBayis and bringing a Korban Pesach. As things developed in the 70s, then the political situation changed. It got to the point where there's no possibility even of doing it without pikuach nefesh. So then at that point, it wasn't necessary.
During
the few years from 1968 until 1975 or so, the Rebbe used to direct chassidim, don't be in the old city on Erev Pesach. Leave the city for the day. That way, you don't have a suffix whether you have to go to the Har HaBayis and bring a Korban Pesach. Because the halacha is that you can bring Korbanos even if the Beit is not dead. And during those years, there was a real possibility, if they had gone up there, conceivably they would have been able to manage it without too much harassment from the Arabs.
Well, the Pesach could have been brought anywhere.
What do you mean anywhere? It has to be brought in the Beit HaMikdash.
Well, but why
like
should it have to be in the old Jewish line anyway? Why do you have to be in an old Jewish
Because if you're not outside, you be in old Jewish because if you're outside the city, then you're in a derech with choyter, then you're part of
the
derech with
choyter.
Okay. Onward. So if you hold that Kedusha Roshona Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Asid Lavoi after the Bechor Nami, then in that case, the Bechor also should have to be brought to Yerushalayim and brought to the Beit HaMikdash, even if the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, because you could bring it on a Mizbeach. And if Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Shmuel in this Braita holds that no, the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash lacks, and therefore you can't bring Karbonus when there's no Beit HaMikdash, then you should have the same question. You should have the same question about a Bechor. You should have to ask that. Let's say you had a Bechor where the blood was sprinkled while the Beit HaMikdash was standing, and then by the time it comes to eating it, the Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed. Are you able to eat such a Bechor? If you say that once the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, its Kedusha goes away, then you would have the same question with Bechor. Why are you taking it as a given that a Bechor after the Churban does not have to be brought, but Maaseh are you questioning? The answer is Amar Ravina, La'olam kasav kitchel l'shaitav l'kitchel l'asid l'avay. No, the Tana, after all, does hold that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim only exists l'shaita, only at that time, v'loy kitchel l'asid l'avay. It doesn't last past the Churban.
which again, the Rambam Paskins are that's correct as far as the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, not as far as the Kedusha of the Beit Mikdash.
In
Paskins, the Kedusha of the Beit Mikdash is forever. In particular, the Rambam says that is why we're not allowed to go on to the Har HaBayis nowadays when we're coming. Even though the Beit Mikdash is destroyed, the Kedusha still exists. The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam on that, but yeah.
It is agreed. But anyway, as far as Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam does agree with this concept that Loitin Shalot Lovay. That is why, for example, Truma and Meiser and everything in Eretz Yisrael nowadays is only Dirabanan. But as far as the Beit Mikdash, anyway, so Bahacha, meaning in other words, that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, as far as Truma and Meiser and Shmita and whatever, does not apply when there's no Beit Mikdash. But over here, we're talking about exactly the case we just mentioned. B'chor shenizrak domoi kodem churban habayis. Suppose you have a b'chor where the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. B'chor of habayis, then the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Ba'adayin b'sarekayim, the meat still exists. You're asking the question, can the meat be eaten or not? Can the meat be eaten when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed? The answer is, u'machshinin b'sarei l'domoi. What we're doing is, the Tana of the Braisa holds that you make a hekesh between the meat and the blood. Ma domei b'mizbeach, just as the blood has to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, af b'sarei b'mizbeach. So also, the meat of it can only be eaten when the mizbeach is thin. Because you have a pasuk that says that you have a pasuk by Bechor that says, es domam tizrak on the mizbeach, and the next pasuk continues, u'sarem yiloch. So you have a hekesh between the blood and the meat. So therefore, whatever applies to the blood applies to the meat, in the sense that you can't sprinkle the blood after the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed, because if we hold Loitin Shalot Lovay, therefore, by the same logic, you can't eat meat after the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed either. That is why he's taking it as a given that a Bechor is not brought after the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed, because then you couldn't sprinkle the blood either. And then he was asking, what about Meister? And we ended up learning it from that Hekesh. And so first of all, we make a hekesh between b'sarei and domoi. Ma domoi b'mizbeach, b'sarei b'mizbeach. And second of all, then we make a second hekesh, u'makesh ma'aser l'b'chor. Then we make a second hekesh based on the pasuk that we quoted before, v'achalta lifnei Hashem alekecha, ma'aser d'gon chatzirosh chavitzarecha u'b'choreis, that we have a hekesh between ma'aser and b'chor. And therefore, we said, just as b'chor is not raw after the b'chor is established, so also ma'aser. Problem with that is, how does that work? When it comes to Korbanos, the Gemara discusses in Zvachim, in Terech Ezer Mekoyman, actually, when it's discussing how we know, every morning in Davening, we say Ezer Mekoyman, we say the basic facts about the various Korbanos. Not all of those are explicitly stated in Pesukim. Some of them we have to learn from the Yud Gimel Midas Shatern Adreshes Behem, including from Akeshim. We have a rule, the Gemara establishes over there, the Gemara has a discussion there at some length, that in general, when it comes to kodshim, and this rule applies always to kodshim, when you have something that you learned for the hekesh, you can't then turn around and take what you learned for the hekesh and apply it to something else via a hekesh. You can't do that. It's a special din by kodshim.
You cannot use a hekesh for another.
You can't use what you learned from a hekesh to learn to something else by hekesh. So over here, the Gemara discusses it over there, why? But we'll get to it in Zvachim, Bez Hashem. We'll get to it towards the end of this year, Bez Hashem. But the point is, therefore, you're telling me then that we're learning the whole concept that you can't eat a Bechor after the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed based on a Hekesh to the blood, and now you want to take that and use that as a basis for a Hekesh that you don't bring Meiser to the Beit Hamikdash either after it's... You can't do that. Yeah. The answer is, It's not in connection with Kodshim, Meiser, Dog, and Cholin, because after all, Meiser is Cholin. When it comes to Cholin, when it comes to any other area of the Torah, you can learn one Hekesh and then use that for another Hekesh. It's only by Korbanos that it doesn't apply. Problem with that is,
anything that's not Korbanos, you can use it.
You can use a Hekesh to make another Hekesh. The problem with that is that in that same discussion in Zvachim, the Gemara says that there's different opinions. That works out according to the opinion that says that as far as applying this rule, that you can't be chozer melamed behekesh, we would say that we go according to the lamed, we go according to what we learned. So then we would say, fine, that you're saying you're making one hekesh within the bechor itself, from its blood to its meat. Then you're making another hekesh to something which is not a carbon. According to one opinion in the Gemara there, that's fine. Because the thing that you're learning by the second hekesh is not kodshim.
But you have a different opinion in the Gemara there that says that no, you look at what you're learning from, that you're saying once you learned a detail in Kodshim from Hekesh, you can't use that detail of Kodshim to learn to something else, even if it's outside Kodshim. Well, then, then what are you going to say? You're trying to learn the meat of the Bechor, that you can't eat it after the Bais Hamikdash is destroyed from a Hekesh. Now you're going to use that, you're going to take that meat of the Bechor and use it as a basis for another Hekesh. According to that opinion in Zvachim, you can't do that. Because the Melamed, what you're trying to learn from, was learned by a Hekesh, and it's in Kodshim. So how does that work then? The answer is, it works because Gama Bosa Chada Milsi, because we're not saying that you actually have a Hekesh between blood and meat. We're saying the blood and the meat are essentially the same thing. They're two integral parts of the carbon. The sprinkling of the blood and the eating of the meat. It's not that you need a Hekesh to learn one from the other. Whatever applies to one automatically applies to the other, even if we didn't have a Hekesh, even if we didn't have the words as Domam Tizrak or Samam or Saram Yalah. Whatever would apply to the blood would apply to the meat, as far as the din of whether you can do it when the Bais Hamikdash is destroyed. And according to the opinion that Loy Kitcha Lasa Lava, right, the answer is you can't, because you can't sprinkle the blood after the Bais Hamikdash is destroyed, according to this opinion, which again is not the halacha, but that, according to that opinion. So therefore, so you don't have two Hekesh, you have one Hekesh, from Bechor to Maizir. And that's fine. One Hekesh.
Everybody agrees that whatever applies to the blood applies to
well,
the
blood. That's according to this Breiser. The Tanner of this Breiser, of Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, understands it that way. He doesn't have to say that it's a Hekesh. I mean, again, the Halacha is quite like that. The Halacha that the Kedusha of the Bais Hamikdash lasts for all time, and therefore that in principle you could bring Korbanos nowadays. So it is true that you don't bring Bechor or Maaser to the Bais Hamikdash after it's destroyed. But we don't learn it. We don't learn it.
The fact is there is no Bais Hamikdash, even though the Kedusha
of it still exists. The Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael doesn't. Midaraisa. Therefore, you don't bring Maisa Sheni because it doesn't have Kedusha. It doesn't have Kedusha Daraisa anyway. So you don't bring Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim when there's no Bais Hamikdash after all. But we don't learn it from the limud that Rabbi Shmuel was saying in the Spraisa. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kodshe Kodshe B'chulah. We said another case in the
Mishnah.
We learn again because Maisa Sheni, because the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael doesn't last. Doesn't exist nowadays as far as the mitzvah of Lois Bar, it's only Dirabanan. Therefore, you don't have the Indian of bringing my Tashani to Yerushalayim. Next, we said in the Mishnah Kodshe Kodshim before, we said that another example where a person gets Malkus is if he eats Kodshe Kodshim outside the walls of the Azara, outside the Kloy. So the question is, why is the Mishnah repeating it? Terneinu Chada Zimna. We learned that already in the first Mishnah of our Perek. Maaser Sheni, the Hekdesh Shleinifter. We said if you eat Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, or you eat Hekdesh, which wasn't redeemed, which Hekdesh includes Kodshim Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. So we already know from that Mishnah that why repeat it? Amar Rabbi Yosi Bachanina, Sefer of Maaser Sheni v'Gavra Tahor. The Sefer, meaning our Mishnah, is talking about a case where the Maaser Sheni is Tahor, hello, and the person is Tahor. D'ka'ocho chutz l'choyma. But the problem in our Mishnah, what's wrong, is that he ate it outside the wall of Yerushalayim. That's what makes him Chayiv Malkus.
The first Mishnah of our Perek, was talking about where the person, where the Maaser Sheni was Tomei,
and or the person was Tomei, because Ocho Lev Yerushalayim, and he was eating it in Yerushalayim, which is a different issue. So there's two different One is where everything is tahor, but you're eating it outside your shalayim without being poyde. The other is where either you or the Maaser Sheni or Tomei, then you're not allowed to eat it anywhere, even in your shalayim. Okay. Umenolei demachayev ala mishum tuma. Where do we know that you're chayev malchus for eating Maaser Sheni when there's tuma involved? The reason is like this: the time we learn in a braisa of Shimon. In Gidui Meister, in that declaration that you're supposed to make after you've taken care of and disposed of all your truma and Meister the way it's supposed to be and given it out to the respective parties and whatever, you say the Gidui Meister, and one passage that you say, one statement that you say in it is, Loi bi auti mi menu b'tomei, I did not use it up in Tumah. So what does it mean in Tumah? means Bein Shani Tomei Vehu Tahor. It means whether I was Tomei and the Ma'aseh Sheni was Tahor. Bein Shani Tahor Vehu Tomei, or whether I was Tahor and the Ma'aseh Sheni was Tomei. Either way, I am declaring that I did not do that. So the question is, so where do you actually have a mitzvah in the Torah that explicitly says you're not allowed to do it? Here you're saying, you have to be clear, you didn't do it. But where do we actually find the Torah that says don't do it? He says, Amy again. He says, I don't know. So we want to interject before we continue the bright, so where we know it from. What do you mean? I don't know. When the person is Tomei, you have an explicit pausing that says you're not allowed to do it. If a person touches it, if meaning Ma'aseh Sheni, a person touches rather if meaning a sheret or any other such trauma, the toma of the aura, he becomes toma until the evening, the loyal chomin akadoshim, and the pasuk continues, he should not eat from the kodshim, which means Ma'aseh Sheni. Rashi brings from the Gemara in Yevamos that kodshim here in our pasuk refers to Ma'aseh.
So we just said previously on the other, Ma'aseh is different
from Kodshim. Now we're saying it's different. But here, when Pasuk uses the word Kodshim, it means Meiser. In this specific Pasuk, V'lo Yerchamen HaKodshim means Meiser, Rashi says, because the Gemara explains over there, the Pasuk says that when is he allowed to eat Meiser, Kim Rochat V'sore B'moyim, that only when he goes to the mikveh. Meiser is the only kind of thing that you're allowed to eat as soon as you go to the mikveh without needing Herav Shemesh. Anything else, Truma or Kodshim, you would need more. You would need Herav Shemesh.
Right.
So therefore, lo yerchamen akadoshim ki imrochat sotara b'amoyim must be talking about meiser. So we see, as the pasuk says, don't eat from it until you go to the mitzvah. So you have a b'feirus
shaloi.
That has to be meiser.
Yeah. What do we mean yerchamen?
That's a good question, but that's how it is. So what does Reb Shimon mean in this braisa when he says, where do you have a mitzvah not to eat meiser sheni b'toma? He says any day. What do you mean any day? You have a pasuk that says that you're not allowed to. No, the question is, Elotumas Atman, and how do we know that, fine, from that we know that if you, the person, are Tomei, then you're not allowed to eat Maiser. Where do we know if you are Tomei that the Maiser is Tomei that you're not allowed to eat? The answer is, so where do we know that from? That is, we get it as follows. This is, because you have a pasuk that says, Lo Yistucha Lecho B'Sharecha, you have one pasuk that says you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning in your cities, and it gives, that's the whole long list that we learned before on your Zion, might have begun for Tidosh of Yitzarecha, or Bukhuris of Kirk of Yitzarecha, or the Homer of Yitzarecha, et cetera. So it says the word Bisharecha, Ula Halan Hu Omer, and in a different place, the prophet says, Bisharecha Techlanu Atomed Atar, elsewhere the Torah says about Suleh HaMukdosh, and about a korban that developed a mum. The context over there is actually the Bukhur that developed the Mum, but the same concept applies to other Kodshim that developed the Mum. That, the Pasuk says, B'sharecha techlanu, in your gates, meaning in your cities, you're able to eat it. Hatomei v'hatahar, the Tomei and the Tahar. And what does it mean, the Tomei and the Tahar? V'tani d'vei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, after the Tomei v'tahar ochon v'kaira achas v'en choshin. It means that a Tomei and a Tahar are able to eat it together out of one plate, and there's no problem. Even though, again, we're talking about a bechor over here, a bechor does have still a certain residual kedusha, even if it develops a mum. You're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to work with it. You have different other rules that apply to it. But tumah v'tahara is one rule that does not apply when you're eating a bechor. A tumah and a tahara person are allowed to eat it together out of the one plate. Meaning, in other words, and what happens if a Tomei eats out of the plate, he's going to make the food Tomei, and then the Tahor is eating from it. So we see there's no problem.
No, because
food that's Tomei, Midaraisa, is not Matamei a person. Midrabanan, in certain cases, food that's Tomei can be Midaraisa, food can't be Matamei
so
a person.
You will be able to eat it without becoming Tomei.
Right. But that's not the point, anyway. It's Cholin. You're allowed to eat Cholin B'Tumah anyway. But that's the point. The Bechor, for most purposes, is considered Cholin.
Right.
Anyway, so the point is, so now what we have, so let's put together the two psukim. We have the Torah says, Lo'istucha lecha b'sharecha, and one of the things in the list over there is Ma'aseh. Then you have over here b'sharecha. What does it mean to eat b'sharecha? It means a Tomei and a Tahor eating together. Therefore, b'ka'amar rachmana, what it means is the prophet could say, hey, a Tomei, the Shorei, l'gabe Tahor, chosam, the kind of Tomei, the kind of Tumah that is allowed for you as a Tahor to eat in that other case, when it comes to a Bechor, You, when it comes to ma'aser, you are not allowed to eat it in a way of bisharecha, in a way in which you eat a b'chor of bisharecha, meaning that the food is tamei. So that is where we learn that you're not allowed to eat ma'aser, which is tamei, even if you yourself are tamei. By the way, it's interesting that Rambam actually in Sefer HaMitzvot and also in Yad HaChazaka actually doesn't use this limud from Lo Yisulcha B'Sharecha. He says more straightforwardly. He says he brings in the Shorshim to Sefer HaMitzvot. He says if the Torah tells you that you have to declare I didn't do such and such, that alone implies that you're also to do it. So therefore, the very fact that you have to say, well, be out in the men of Tomei, and he said, be out in the men of Tomei has a double meaning, either that you're Tomei or the Meister is Tomei, that alone implies that there was a loisa say involved in eating it in such a state. That's the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, you don't even need this whole convoluted way of learning it from loisa lacha b'sharecha and b'sharecha techlacha. Just the fact that it says, be out in the men of Tomei alone creates the law.
And that love would be subject to love.
Yeah. Like most modern, again, because
it's not an expressive.
No, but it fits the criteria of love. It fits the criteria of mouth. It's a love. It's not nitik la'aseh. It involves a ma'aseh.
Right.
It fits all the criteria. So then, yeah. All right. Now the question becomes, we no longer divide the deal. Fine. How do we know that ma'aseh sheni, which became Tomei, that Maiser Sheni, which became Tomei, what did we say in the Mishnah? We said if you ate Maiser Sheni, which was not redeemed, then you get Malchus, implying that you could redeem it even in Yerushalayim. Now, if it was Tohar, you wouldn't be allowed to. Maiser Sheni, that's Tohar, once it's brought into Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it. You have to eat it there in Yerushalayim. How do we know the implication of our Mishnah that if it's Tomei, you are allowed to be part of it anywhere, even in Yerushalayim? The answer is the Omer of Elazar. Minayim l'maaseh sheni shenitma shepoydenoyt after the Yerushalayim. How do we know that maaseh sheni, which became tamei, it can be poyde even in Yerushalayim? Tamad loyma ki loytzuchal seisa. Therefore, we have like this. The pasuk tells us that if you have maaseh sheni and you can't bring it to Yerushalayim, you can't eat it. Ki loytzuchal seisa. The expression in the pasuk is that the chiyuba mimcha derech, it's a long way, kilo tzuchal se'eser. You're not able se'eser. Now, the simple meaning of se'eser is you can't carry it.
Yeah.
You can't carry it. It's too much to carry to your shalai. And then you redeem it for money and you take the money to your shalai. But the word se'eser has another meaning. The ain't se'es el achilo. The word se'es in our pasuk means eating.
You cannot eat it.
So you can't eat it, and why can't you eat it? Because it's tamei, and we just established in the previous part of the Gemara that when ma'aser sheni is tamei, you're not allowed to eat it.
Right.
And how do we know that se'es means eating? Shenema vayisa ma'aseis ne'es panav. Thank you. As we find in Parashas Mikates, where it says that Yosef had portions of food distributed to his brothers, so we see that se'es is an expression meaning eating. So when it says, loisuchal se'esa, it doesn't just mean it's too heavy, you can't carry it. It means you're not able to eat it. Why not? Because it's also to eat, because it's tamei. And the pasuk is saying that then you should convert it into money. So we see that you can do that even in your shalayim if it's tamei. But saying two different things. Number one, ki yivam l'chadera, it's too far from your shalayim. Number two, even if it's in your shalayim, kila is still called se'ese, but you're not allowed to eat it. In either one of those cases, then you can be poyde.
So when you can only poyde,
so you can be poyde either outside your shalayim. Either it's outside your shalayim, whether it's tamei or tahor, it doesn't matter. Or even if it's inside your shalayim, provided that it is tamei. Either kiyuba mumchaderach, either it's too far away, or so called say, so you can't eat it.
And it's
tamei. And it's only when can't you eat it? If it became tamei, yeah. So that's how it is. You're able to be poyde ma'aser sheni, which is tamei, in your shalayim. And by the way, I'm given to understand that this is how they do nowadays. Given that we mentioned on Amud Aleph that you don't bring ma'aser sheni to your shalayim nowadays because there's no beis mikdash. Because the question becomes, what happens if you have ma'aser sheni in your shalayim nowadays? What do you do with it? So one.
What do you mean? If you have in your shalayim,
if you grow something in your shalayim,
or you brought produce into Yerushalayim and you separated Terumos and Maisers from it over there. What do you do as far as the Maiser Sheni? I'm given to understand that one of the possibilities is you matame it, and on our Gemara is saying that once you matame it, you're able to one once from it, you're able to record it. Okay. Omen of Bibi, Omen of Bam. Yeah, no, he's a Bibi. Well, nowadays, we'll tell him nowadays. We'll tell him that anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
You've got
to do nothing for it. Omer to Bibi, Omer to Abba. Here's another din. How do we know that Maaser Sheni, which is Tahar, you're allowed to redeem it even if you're only one step outside the walls of Yerushalayim? You shouldn't say that when the Pasuk says, Ki Yubba Mimcha Derech, means that you're actually really far away. How do we know the same thing would apply even if you're right outside the wall? Shenema, Kilo Sokal Seisei, because the Pasuk says you can't carry it. And again, Seisei again means you can't eat it. If it's outside, if it's outside the walls of your slime, you're not able to eat it. So therefore it means even there. The question is, Haim Boile Lechidra B'Liezer. Yes, but we already need that din to teach us Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer, really. We already need that part of Kilo Sokol Seisei to teach us. It's not a matter of eating. It's a matter of, Rashi says, here we're understanding Seisei in the simple sense. It's not Rashi, by the way. I should mention earlier on the Almud, there's a note over here that Rashi passed away at this point while writing this Pirush on Makkos, and from here on until almost the end of the Masechta, we haven't said the Pirush of the Rivan, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Nosson, who was one of Rashi's Talmidim. So from now on, we have the Rivan, really, instead of Rashi. But anyway, the Rivan explains that we don't...
What's his full name?
Rabbi Yehuda Rav Nosson. So the Rivan explains, it is actually on the side of it here, it says it is not only a Talmud of Rashi, he was a son-in-law of Rashi. So he explains like this. Here we're taking to Esau in the simple sense. It means you can't carry it. You're not able to carry it into the Chaimah. In other words, it's not a question of how physically far you are, as long as it's something where you're able to say that I have to pick it up and bring it into your shalayim, but I'm not able to, then that's fine. You can be part of it. Because kilo is so called base, because you're not able to bring it in, yeah. So the question is, Haim Boiler the Chidra B'Lazer, don't we need those words, Kilo Sokal Seisei, to teach us Rabbi Lazer's din, that if the Maaser Sheni is Tomei, you can be quite dead in Yerushalayim? How can we use those same words for a different limud, that if it's outside Yerushalayim, that if even one step outside Yerushalayim, you should be quite dead? The answer is, if all it meant is to teach us Rabbi Lazer's din, then it would have said explicitly, instead of using the word Seisei, which we said Seisei means eating, it would have said straight out, Kilo Sokal Seisei, you can't eat it. My se'esoi, what does it mean that you can't se'esoi, that you can't carry it? That teaches us Ravasi's din also. They can't carry it, that you're not able to bring it, you don't feel that you're able to bring it in. So therefore that helps. Okay, the question is, aim a cool of the hot food. My clerk said maybe the topic means only Ravasi's din. Maybe it doesn't mean Ravasi's din at all. Yes, but then the Pasuk would have used a different expression, that you're not able to take it.
Not
se'esoi, which has a double meaning. Okay, Lifloy is actually Loshen Chazal. If it was Loshen Torah, it would say Losochol Tachtoi or whatever. The point is, it would have used an expression that unambiguously means to pick it up and then take it. My Seisei.
What's the difference?
Because Lifloy means only to pick it up. Seisei has a double meaning. It can mean to eat, like Rabbi Loza said, and it can mean to pick up, like Rabbi Abdi said.
Seisei doesn't mean something heavy.
Seisei means to carry it.
It doesn't have to be
that heavy for you. It could be. It's too heavy for you because it's too much of a bother, whatever. So therefore, Shmami Natauti, the fact that it says Se'esai, we can learn both things from, because Se'esai has the double meaning of eating and carrying. Therefore, we can learn both dinim from it. If you're not able to eat it because it's Tomei, then you're able to redeem it even in Yerushalayim. And if you can't carry it because it's even one step outside the wall, but it's too much of a bother to bring inside, then you're able to be part of it. Okay. Yosef Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshia. Okay, so now Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshia were sitting, becoming Boyalahu, and they were wondering the following question. Apischa di Yerushalayim, what if the produce of Maaser Sheni is right by the gate of Yerushalayim? Now Rashi, I should say the Rivan brings a different gusa, which also Hagomai Tabach is, that not they were wondering about what if it's by the gate of Yerushalayim, they were actually sitting by one of the gates of Yerushalayim, Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshia, this is a couple hundred years after the Churban, but they're sitting by one of the remnants of the gates and discussing this halacha.
Are they out or are they in?
They were sitting by one of the gates. I don't know.
They had to be.
Yeah, I don't know. No, they could have been inside. I don't know. Whatever. They were asking like this. So, Pshita hu b'chutz masoy b'sim. Now, they said there's no question if the person is outside the wall, but his burden is inside, in other words, he's carrying a bag of Ma'aser Sheni, and he himself is still standing outside the wall, but the bag already on his arm or whatever is inside the wall. Well, then there's no question, Kulturu Mechitzis. Then they said there's no question, the walls have already encompassed it, and therefore you can't be Poged anymore unless it becomes Tomei. The question is,
it's within the walls,
yeah. The question is, who Gufnim, Masoy Bachutz Mahu? What about if the other way around? What if the person is standing inside Yerushalayim, but he's holding the bag behind him, let's say, so it's still outside the wall, can he still be Poged at that point? Well, that's the question. So a certain old Talmud Chacham, which we mentioned before, maybe Eliyahu Hanavi, taught them a braisa from the yeshiva of Rav Shem Bar Yochai, that when the pasuk says, Ki yirchak mimcha hamakad, when the pasuk says that the place, meaning Yerushalayim, is far away from you, mimcha means mimilu'acha, from your fullness. From your fullness. So Rashi says, mimcha means mimilu'acha.
Okay,
from Mikol Milu Shalcha, the Rivam says. Meaning, in other words, it means the person or his masa. So as long as either you or your masa are inside the wall, then it's not Kiyuchak Mimcha Amakim anymore. So in other words, the answer would be that no, if you're inside and the bag is still outside, you can't be part of it anymore because you are inside already. It's not Kiyuchak Mimcha anymore. And if it was the other way around, you're outside and the bag is already inside, it's also not because Mimi Luacha, it's not far from your burden, because your burden, meaning the bag, is already inside your shalayim, it's not to your chak mimcha anymore. Mimcha includes both you and your burden. Therefore, you can't be poided in either of those cases.
If you're in your way, the bag is not far away.
That's the point. In other words, either you or the bag are not far away at that point.
And therefore
you can't be poided. The Rambam has a different understanding. The Rambam understands mimi luacha specifically to mean the bag, because the burden that you're carrying.
Yeah.
Meaning the Rambam understands that the answer to their question is that if you are b'fnim and the masa is b'chutz, you could be poged. As long as the masa itself has not been brought within the walls, then you're able to be poged. That's how the Rambam writes.
Because
the masa itself is outside the wall. So not like the Rivan is saying over here that it means if either you or the masa are inside, then it's too late. No, as long as the masa is outside, it's too late. If the masa is inside and you're outside, no, then the Rambam would agree. You can't be part yet. The masa is inside already.
Okay.
But if the masa is still outside, even though you're inside,
right.
You could. Unlike the Rivan. Okay.
The Rivan would say either way you can't.
Either way you can't.
Because
Minluacha means you and your burden. If either one of them is inside, then it's too late. Okay. Boy, the Papa asked the question. Nakatle b'kanyamai. What about if you're not holding the masa directly on your arm or whatever? Let's say you have it on a long stick. B'kanya, on a long stick hanging behind you. So it's nowhere near the city yet. And you're already inside, but it's still way outside as opposed to being trailing right behind you. What would be the din? So you must have taken. Now, we're not yet at the end. At the end of the Gemara, Ravina is going to give a way of answering Rav Papa's question, which therefore we'll know the halacha one way or the other. So we'll get to that later. Meanwhile, Amar Rav Papi, Amar Rav Yechanan, another din, Ma'aser Sheni Me'emes HaChayav and Olav, at what point are you chayav Malkus for eating Ma'aser Sheni? Mishra Pnei HaChoyma, only once it sees the face of the wall, meaning in other words that you brought it into the walls of your Yerushalayim. When we say in our Mishnah that he ate Ma'aser Sheni, Chutz L'Chaima, and you get Malkus, doesn't mean you never brought it into your Yerushalayim. It means you brought it in and then you took it out again. Only then would you be chayav Malkus. But if you ate it before you ever brought it into your Yerushalayim, it would be Osir, but you wouldn't be chayav Malkus. You would be over an Esser, choice to say, but you wouldn't get Malkus.
Yeah, Chaima seems to say in front of the wall. No?
Pnei HaChaima means in front, that means the inside surface of the wall, meaning you brought it into the city.
So you can, if you see your shiny through the wall.
No, it's not. No.
That doesn't mean
it. My time, why is that? Because like this, the Amakura, because the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Alatechot Echlanu Shana B'Shana, the Pasuk says that Ma'aser Sheni, you should eat in front of Hashem
year by year, meaning every single year you bring your Maaser, your Maaseini, and you eat it. Then you have a different pasuk, Lo Yisucha Lecha B'Sharecha. You have a different pasuk that we quoted a few times already in the Sugya that said, since our Mishnah, that said, Lo Yisucha Lecha B'Sharecha. You're not allowed to eat in Sharecha, in your gates, meaning in your cities. You're not allowed to eat Maaseini. So therefore, we understand that there's a connection between those two things. Only where you have the din that you eat it in front of Hashem, meaning that it's been brought into your shalayim, only then does the issue of loytzuchal b'sharacha and the malchus that goes with it, only then does that kick in. If you don't yet have the lifnei Hashem alakecha, because you haven't yet brought it into your shalayim, loytzuchal lecha b'sharacha doesn't yet apply either. Because these are actually two psukim back to back. These are actually two psukim back to back. That therefore we learn that what applies to one applies what applies to one applies to the other. So implying when does the loisuchal kick in? Only when lifnei Hashem alakecha techlanu. Meaning you brought it into your shalom. So if you eat it before you brought it into your shalayim, as Tosfos says, you're oiran a mitzvah tasei because you didn't bring it into your shalayim, but there's no malchus. Okay, the Gemara says, maybe you have a contradiction. A braisa says, Rabbi Yosi, koyin shall also be yodet teinishal tevel. If a koyin gets a hold of a fig of tevel, now it's tevel, truma and maitzah still have to be taken from it. But he being a koyin, he'll be able to eat. The truma and the mice, he'll be able to eat the truma and the mice, isn't it?
He still has to designate it.
He doesn't necessarily have to separate it, but he still has to designate. Yeah, one fig. Actually, by the way, it's interesting that we're mentioning a fig over here. You have a major machlokes rishonim, it's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, among others. Is it that midoraisa truma and mice applies to all produce, or at least all fruits? Everybody agrees by vegetables, it's only the rabbanim. But does it apply to all produce, or does it apply only to grain, grapes, and olives, which are the ones that I mention over and over in the Torah? Every time it mentions Shulman and Maisha, it always mentions Dogon Tirish V'Yitzah. So you have an opinion that says that Midaraisa, it only applies to Dogon Tirish V'Yitzah. They would have to understand our Gemara that it mentions Teina would mean, when we're talking about that, what Malchus he would get, we're talking about Malchus Drabonon, we're talking about Malchus Maurus. Because Midrabonon, Maisha applies to those things as well. The opinions that say that applies to all fruits, but say we're talking about Marcus Zerai. Anyway, yeah. So wait, because we learned in Yevamos that actually there's a Kana of Ezra that the Kohenim are allowed to eat Maaser either exclusively or alongside the Levium, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, even if we say a Kohen is also to eat Maaser, even if we say that the Maaserishin is supposed to be given to the Levi, fine. But if a Kohen eats it, you're not going to be chayav Malchus for it. You can't even say anything. Not chayav anything. My tradition is holden, except for the Trumas Maaser, which goes to the Kohen and has a Gusha of Truma. The rest of the Maaser tradition is holden. Right. You're supposed to give it to the lady, but if you didn't and you ate it yourself, it's not even the concept of Gezel HaShevet. Fine, you stole from Shevet Levi, but there's not even, you wouldn't have to pay back any particular individual lady, because any lady who would come to demand it, you could say, there's thousands of other of you Levium around, who says I was going to give it to you? Yeah. Anyway, so Kohen shall also be other. What? Yeah, the food is still there, as long as you've designated my tradition. So Kohen shall also be able to initial tevel. So if a Kohen gets a hold of a fig of tevel, Omar, and he starts declaring that Te'enes are trumas of uksa, the truma should be at the stem end of this fig. You have to designate truma in such a way that there's a definitive part of it. So he designates that one particular section, the area around the stem, is going to be truma. My tradition is fine. Then he continues. My tradition will be designated on the north side of the fig. Not necessarily the opposite side. No, because it depends which way he's holding it. But the point is, he's definitively saying. So you have the top end of it. You have the north side. You have the south side. Whatever. My tasheni l'droima, and he says my tasheni will be on the south side of it. V'hishnas my tasheni v'hu b'yoshalayim. And let's say this is a year of Maaser Sheni. This is the first or second or fourth or fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, which are the years that you give Maaser Sheni. Well, he'll be Yerushalayim, and he's in Yerushalayim, where he's able to eat the Maaser Sheni on the spot.
or he designates, or he, it's in the third or sixth year, and he says, therefore, on the south side of the stead, 10% of it is going to be Maisa Oni. Rehobot Rulin, and he's anywhere, because Maisa Oni is anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and now he eats it. Ochla, so if he eats it, Loika Achas, he will get one hug. Why? What is he missing? Because he forgot to, when he designated my tradition, he forgot to designate that out of that my tradition is going to be Tirumas Maiser. Even though it's true, he being a Kohen is allowed to eat Tiruma and Tirumas Maiser. So in principle, if he could eat the whole fig as long as he had done that, but he left that part out. He designated Tiruma, he designated my tradition, he designated my Sheni or my Ani, but it's still Tevil, or rather the my tradition is still Tevil, in that he ate the part of it was supposed to be Tirumas Maiser and it wasn't designated, therefore it's Tevil.
What
about Maiser Oni? Maiser Oni doesn't even know. He designated Maiser Oni, we said, fine. He may be an Oni. And again, even if he's not an Oni, he's not Oiran and Isser, he's not an Oiran and Isser Malkus by eating it, but he is Oiran and Isser Malkus for eating Tevil, because in this case, it's still Tevil for having failed to designate Maiser, Tirumas Maiser.
How much do you have to eat?
So we said the other day, according to Reb Shimon, any amount, according to the Chachamim, because I, it's fine. You would have to assume that there was enough to be a Kazayis.
He designated Tumah, he designated Maiser Rishon, and Maiser Sheni, or Maiser Ani.
But he forgot out of the Tumas Maiser, to designate Tumas Maiser. He forgot to say out of the 10% on the north front. Doesn't matter. He still has to designate it. Then he can eat it. But he should have had to say 10% on the north side is my tradition, and out of that, 10% out of that, which is 1% out of the whole thing, should be Tirumas Maiser. If he had done that, he'd be good. Like this, he isn't. Therefore, he gets Malkus. V'zor sha'ocho loika shayim. And if it was a zor who eats it, he's going to get two Malkus: one for the truma that he ate, and one for the tevil that he ate. She'ilu b'tchila ochla. Now, if this zor had eaten it to begin with, ain't a loika, without designating the truma and maaser at all, ain't a loika el achas, then he would only get one malchus for eating tevil. So what are we saying? Taima de issa b'yerushalayim. Now why are we saying that the zor gets only two malchus? Because the issa b'yerushalayim, because he's in Yerushalayim. Chobe gvulin, implying that if this same story had happened outside Yerushalayim, loika sholish, on the face of it, we're saying that he would be getting three malchus, one for eating truma, one for eating tevil, and one for eating maaser sheni outside Yerushalayim. Implying, even though it never was brought into Yerushalayim, he'd be chayiv for eating maaser sheni outside Yerushalayim. Why? We just said that if you didn't bring it into Yerushalayim, then the lav didn't kick in yet. The answer is, yes, but here we're talking about a case where he brought it into Yerushalayim, he designated the various Turumas and Maisers, and then he took it out of Yerushalayim. So now it's Maaser Sheni that was in Yerushalayim. Question is, Yehochim Ma'ilam Emra. Okay, but if so, what's the Chiddush? Obviously, everybody knows that if you take Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim and take it back out, then you're chayav for eating it. The answer is, Hochab Ma'askin is going to Ayinu B'tziv Lahu. Yes, but the Chiddush is, we're talking about over here, that you brought the fig into Yerushalayim while it was still tevil. And then you brought it in while it was still tevil, and you didn't necessarily designate the Tirumas and Maisers while it was in Yerushalayim. You brought it into Yerushalayim, you took it out of Yerushalayim,
then you started designating
Tiruma and Maiser outside Yerushalayim. The Kasavar, the Tana of this Breiser, of Yosi, holds Matonis, Shalohumu, Kamisha, Humu, Damian. He holds that Matonis, in this case, Truma and Maiser and whatever, that were not taken out, are considered as if they were already taken out. In the sense that, like this, we would say, if we didn't hold of that, we would say, fine, there was no Maiser Sheni that was in Yerushalayim yet. But if we hold that everything that's going to be taken out of it, all the Truma and Maiser that are supposed to be designated, is considered to a certain extent as if it was already designated, then we would say there's already Maiser Sheni in here. It just hasn't been designated yet. Therefore, that Maiser Sheni was Ra'al Pnei Chomer. It was inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Therefore, it was Koilet. Therefore, if he brings it back out and only then starts actually designating the Truma and Maiser, he'll be Chayef for eating Maiser Sheni that was in Yerushalayim and went out.
That's only
if we say, Matanas Shalayhomu Kamishah Homu Damian. The next question is, the Sover of Yesi, Matanas Shalayhomu Kamishah Homu Domi. Are you telling me Rav Yesi holds that way? Well, Tanya, but we learn in a Braisa. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Oyma Mishum Rav Yesi. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says, in the name of the same Rav Yesi, Loi Nechlaku Betshama Betzilo, Betshama and Betzilo do not disagree al Peres Shalanigma Malach. So, regarding Peres, that the malacha of them has not been completed yet. We know, we've discussed many times before, that Peres have to have Gemar malacha. It has to be that the processing of them has been finished before they become chayiv and maaser. So if the loving mumalach and over Yerushalayim, and then that fruit was brought into Yerushalayim, passed through Yerushalayim,
then there's no question should be part of Ma'aseh Sheni Yerushalayim v'Yachal B'Chamasim. Both the Shammai and the Sill will agree that fine. It's not considered that it was Ma'aseh Sheni that was already in Yerushalayim. It's considered that it was never in Yerushalayim yet. Therefore, like any Ma'aseh Sheni, because it wasn't separated out yet, and it wasn't yet Gemar Malacha, they weren't even chayiv in Ma'aseh yet.
Right. So therefore, everybody agrees that you can take them and that you can take the Ma'aseh Sheni and redeem it and eat it anywhere in Eretz Yisrael.
The Gemar Malacha
only took place after. The Gemar Malacha only took place after it was taken out of Yerushalayim.
It would consist of what?
It depends. Every kind of fruit, every kind of produce has its own type of Gemar Malacha.
It could be, for example, it would be that it's ready to eat or ready to sell. So in the case of apples, I don't know that there's really much with it. Let's say, for example, though, you have with certain kinds of cucumbers or whatever, they have a fuzz on them when they grow, so it involves removing the fuzz. With other kinds of ones, it involves removing the flower or peeling off certain leaves or whatever it is. They're not chayav and meiser until that point is reached. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, what case is the machlokas that Shammai is still about? Al peres shenigmar malachan va'av Rabbi Yerushalayim. If you have fruit that the Gemar Malacha did take place, and then they were brought into Yerushalayim, still as kevel, and then taken out. Shabbat Shammai omim yachdu ma'aseh sheni shalayim v'yachal b'Yerushalayim. But Shammai says you dafka have to bring the ma'aseh sheni and eat it in Yerushalayim because they hold matanas shalayhumu kamisha humu dami. They hold that this fruit that was brought through Yerushalayim as tevel is considered as if the ma'aseh sheni was already separated. Therefore, it's ma'aseh sheni that was in Yerushalayim, which has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Vitzilah says it can be redeemed and eaten elsewhere because it's not shalayhumu dami and it's not considered that it was taken out yet. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi obviously hold like Beis Hillel. The halacha is like the Shammai is almost never like the Shammai when they argue with Beis Hillel. So therefore, if he's saying that that's Beis Hillel's opinion, that means that he holds that he holds Matanas Shleihumu are not Kamisha Humu Damian. That's not considered as if they were already separated.
Mm-hmm.
We would say that since Beis Hillel holds that, that means that's how it is, la halacha.
Right.
That as long as the matanis were not actually separated out, were not actually designated, they're not considered to exist yet.
Right.
Therefore, you don't have Ma'aseh Sheni that was in Yerushalayim yet.
Right.
And so you're telling me then that Rabbi Yosi is saying that when would you be chayiv on eating Ma'aseh Sheni, when would you be chayiv malchus for it, only if it was in Yerushalayim as tevel and then taken out. But we see from this braisa that we just quoted that according to him that wouldn't happen. As long as it was brought in as tevel, it's not a problem. The istakudaitach matonis shalohumu kamishahumu dami. And if you're going to say that the matonis, which haven't been designated, are considered as if they were already, which is how we understood the braisa before. Then by this tevel that was brought into Yerushalayim after Gemar Malacha, the walls have already seized it. It's already considered to be Ma'aseh Sheni that was in Yerushalayim. Why should Beis Hillel say you can be pardoned and eat it anywhere once it is in Yerushalayim? The answer is, Amar Rabba, there's a difference. You have two different dinim that apply as far as the walls of Yerushalayim and Ma'aseh. One is as far as eating it in Yerushalayim. The other is as far as being pardoned. Mechitza lachol daraisa. The concept that you need to eat within Yerushalayim, that you need to eat Ma'aseh Sheni within the walls, that's daraisa. Mechitza lichlo derabanan. The concept that we say that once it's inside the wall, it's koilet, that Yerushalayim has sort of seized it, has sort of accepted it, and you're not allowed to take it out again, that is only derabanan. Midaraisa, you would be allowed to, and be poided. You wouldn't be, if midaraisa were saying if you took it out and ate it without being poided, you'd be chayav malchus. But midaraisi, you'd be allowed to take it out, be part of it. Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to do that. Now the Rabbanan only made this zera when the Ma'aseh Sheni exists as a definitive thing, when it's already been designated. B'tivle, like Gozer Rabbanan, when you bring it in as tevel, the B'tivle holds that, according to Rabbi Yosi anyway, that the Rabbanan never made the zera to apply to that. Therefore, you don't have to, once you do designate the Ma'aseh Sheni, you don't have to adapt to bring it back to Yerushalayim, because you only have a din d'rabbanan, and the din d'rabbanan doesn't apply in this case, so you would be allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim, because it wasn't the Enik, because you didn't actually have the Ma'aseh Sheni separate, designated out yet. So if you had Ma'aseh Sheni designated out, you took it into Yerushalayim, then yeah, you could, then the Rabbanan would hold the Zera saying you can't take it out of Yerushalayim.
Right.
And be part of it, but here, where it doesn't exist yet, then.
thing. Ravina, Amar, Ravina says, here's a different answer to explain that we said before, we said before that in this case of the fig, we said that if you were to eat it outside of your shalayim, apparently you would be high of three malchus, one for truma, one for tevel, and when one for truma, one for tevel, and one for ma'aser sheni outside of your shalayim. So we said that the case was it wasn't brought into your shalayim. We wanted to say before that maybe the case is it was brought into your shalayim and taken out. And we said in that case, what's the chiddush? And that brought us into this whole discussion of matanas shalayhumu, etc. Ravina says here's a different answer. The case can be that the person is holding it with a stick, that once he is, once he himself is inside the wall of your shalayim, even though he has it on a stick on his back, then it's considered as if the produce was already in your shalayim.
Even though it's outside,
and even though it's not even next to him, he's not holding it on his arm, he's holding it on a stick. Nevertheless, it's considered as if it's already in your shalayim. And at that point, if you were to turn around and leave your shalayim and eat this ma'aser sheni outside your shalayim without being toided, you would get malchus. If you bring it inside, that's good. That's what you're supposed to do.
No, if he's inside and the master is outside.
No, if the master is outside, you can't eat it outside. But we're saying that if you were to eat it outside, if you were to go back outside and eat it over there, you would be high of malchus. That's the finish of the bright, says Ravina. In which case, Ketivshit Boyer did a papa. In which case, we can answer the papa's question. The papa asked before, what if it's on a stick? Now we would know the answer.
Right.
Even if it's on a stick, as long as you came inside, it's already considered that it's the kiddo of Makam, that it's already considered in your shalayim, and therefore that if you were to say that if you were to go back out, then you would be chayav malchus for eating it.
And if he's outside,
we saw that he's holding and he's inside and the fruit is outside or vice versa.
One second. Remember, according to the Rivan, and the Rivan explains all the Gemara the same way over here, that if either you or the fruit are inside your shalayim, then it's too late to be purged. So now Ravina is saying a further detail. If you were inside and the fruit, even though the fruit is outside, even though it's on a long stick, it's still considered as if it was already in your shalayim. And therefore, at that point, it does fit because you were inside, even though the fruit was outside. So therefore, that answers your papa's question. That's the chiddush of the bright, so that you will be chayav malchus in that case. The Rambam goes according to his shita. The Rambam understood before, remember, that you're only chayav if the fruit ever came inside. So therefore, the Rambam would understand that fakir. What Ravina is saying is, if you're holding it on a stick, then you will not be chayav because it itself was outside the wall. It itself was outside. It never came in. Only if it actually physically came in and then was taken out. So that would be according to the Rambam. The chiddush of the bright is the other way around. You would think, like the Rivan is saying, that as long as you were inside and then you went and then you walked back outside with the ma'aser never having come into your shalayim, you would be chayav malchus. No, the chiddush of the braita is only if you ever brought the ma'aser inside and then brought it out would you be chayav malchus. But if it stayed outside on the stick,
then you're not
chayav malchus for it. Yeah.
The case of the stick is very close to the case of the guy who holds the fruit outside.
It is similar, but the difference is, we would say...
We don't talk in the same way.
No, but we do. We say that, according to the Rambam, again, we do. Okay. And even according to the Rivan, what we said is that as long as Mimiluacha, as long as either you or your master is inside, then you're chayev.
Right.
And so that applies whether your master is directly on your arm or whether it's on a stick. That you're chayev. According to the Rambam, the other way. Mimiluacha means only from your master, only is concerned where the fruit is. The fruit is outside. It doesn't matter whether it's on your arm, and your arm is just outside, or whether it's on a stick. Either way, you're positive. Yeah.